Politico Brussels Playbook, presented by EPP Group. Summertime proposal, Tajani's Hungary surprise, Parliament forgets to check the calendar. By Florian Etter. With Zoya Sheftalovich. Presented by EPP Group. Send tips here, tweet at Floriander, listen to today's playbook and view in your browser. The clock is ticking, the Commission is set to deliver on its promise to end annoying clock changes. The proposed directive on discontinuing seasonal changes of time, obtained by Playbook, contains only 7 articles. But really, the first one says it all: member states shall not apply seasonal changes to their standard time or times. Nudging towards daylight saving, countries are urged to decide on their preferred time by April 1, 2019, with a last chance to change to winter hours next October, assuming Council and Parliament cooperate. Perhaps that's a case of the Berlaymont planning ahead for some less dramatic headlines than those we'll no doubt get in the days after Brexit kicks in. Lark or owl? Of course, the law can't bridge the one divide ripping apart the continent and the world, the one between morning larks and night owls, like yours truly. The latter tribe outnumbered the former in the Commission's bumper consultation, with a majority of respondents calling for making summertime eternal. Here are the fullest results of the consultation for you, ahead of publication today. Good Friday morning. Today's playbook comes to you from London, where colleague Jack Blanchard was kind enough to have me over for the first birthday party for his baby, London Playbook. What am I doing today? Salisbury is said to be worth a day trip or two. Spotted at London Playbook's birthday party at Somerset House, BBC presenter Emma Barnett, Theresa May's official spokesman James Slack, Press Secretary Paul Harrison and Deputy Chief of Staff Jojo Penn, Politico CEO Patrick Steele, Jeremy Corbyn's Head of Strategic Comms James Schneider, Shadow Brexit Secretary Keir Starmer, Latvian Ambassador Biba Braes, Tory MPs Matt Warman and Bob Seeley, Labour MP Darren Jones, German Embassy's Knud Noel, Twitter's Nick Pickles and Katie Minchell, Google's Michaela Neild, US Embassy's Michael Martens, former No. 10 Comms Chief and IMF Director Steve Field, former Cabinet Minister Damian Green, the Bank of England's Claire Cowan, E. Sharp's Paul Adamson, Irish Embassy's Nicole Mannion, Gerald Angley, Fionnuala Callanan and Nora Delaney, Politico's Ryan Heath, Kate Day, Annabel Dixon, Molly Flute, Natasha Bernard, Kat Kondogulia, Dari Gassner, Julia Kiatand, Roland Klein and Freddie Martin and many more. For all the goss, see this morning's London Playbook, online from 8 a.m. Brussels time. A message from the EPP Group, a new copyright law aimed at ensuring that people who create get their fair share. Getting tougher on product quality, MEPs turn up the heat on brands that mislead consumers. Paving the way towards the European elections and beyond, the Commission President looks ahead in his hashtag SoTo speech. Watch this week's highlights. The Art of No Deal, the British government's preparations for a no-deal Brexit were the talk of the party at Somerset House last night. If you needed a symbol for what Brexit is all about, look no further than the Brexiteers' pride in being allowed to carry around their fabled blue passports again, after years of burgundy impertinence. But it's also a symbol of how difficult it is to get rid of even the external signs of European identity. On Thursday, the UK government published the second tranche of its no-deal Brexit prep documents. In one, it pressed Brits whose passports were issued before October 2009 to renew their documents soon if they plan to travel to Schengen area countries after Brexit Day on March 29, 2019. But they can't have a blue one just yet, note Annabel Dixon and Joshua Posehner. The new design won't be ready until late next year. So what will a no-deal Brexit look like? It'll be all about queuing, traffic jams, paperwork. And those are just the bits of government advice that are comprehensible, writes our own Tom McTagg. You're invited, join us on September 27th at the event Big Data for Better Health, Hyper Hope. Presented by Bayer, for a debate on the value of big data in healthcare and what can be done to unleash it, while respecting privacy and security concerns. Register here. Hungary fallout. Rule of law frenzy, as expected. The governments of Poland and the Czechia are standing firmly by the side of Prime Minister Viktor Orbán after European Parliament voted to trigger Article 7 procedures against Hungary. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš told Parliamentary Listy in an interview on Thursday, "This nonsense only contributes to negative moods in the EU." He also said that Czech MEPs who voted in favor of censure on Wednesday betrayed us, More of a surprise, European Parliament President Antonio Tajani was also unhappy about the outcome of the vote. Talking to Radio 24, he suggested taking action against three more countries, Malta, Romania and Slovakia, to, in his words, balance things out. Why was nothing done then against countries like Malta and Slovakia? When you had two journalists killed here, and in the case of Slovakia, leading to the resignation of a center-left prime minister. Tajani said, referring to the assassinations of Daphne Caruana Galizia and Jan Kuciak. And why has nothing been done about Romania? Tajani's political maneuver, you can't have two weights and two measures. Which is why Forza Italia says you cannot just attack one right-wing government when no corrective measures were applied to two left-wing administrations. Worse things happen there than in Hungary, Il Presidente said. The implication is that the vote in the chamber over which Tajani himself presides was a politically motivated punishment. It passed by a two-thirds majority. Never fear, Parliament is on the case. MEPs on the Civil Liberties Committee will travel to Slovakia and Malta next week to inquire about the country's rule of law and investigate why journalists were assassinated there after reporting on corruption and organized crime. According to a draft program for the visit, they'll meet with government members and the country's prime ministers, Peter Pellegrini and Joseph Muscat. But did anyone check the calendar? The Slovak cabinet will be in Košice on September 17, when MEPs arrive in Bratislava, to meet with the Czech government to jointly celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of Czechoslovakia. And a meeting, marked to be confirmed, with Malta's Muscat may be difficult to get on September 20, when the committee has penciled it in, because it's the day of the informal Salzburg summit of EU leaders. Jean-Claude Juncker's concerns, I still think Romania and Bulgaria have to enter as soon as possible the Schengen area. Efforts have to be made as far as the rule of law in these countries is concerned, the Commission President told Romanian Digi24 television. I have the impression that there is a huge and controversial dispute in Romania between the President and the government and part of Parliament. Do I have the feeling that everything is fine in Romania? I don't. Vehicle emissions targets and fair competition in aviation are two files on which the EU legislative agenda demands progress on this fall. ProTransport is following it all. Email pro@politico.eu for a complimentary trial. Remember that trip? What's an unofficial delegation again? The MEPs who went on a recent trip to the Maldives, ahead of the presidential election there later this month, are keen to assure everyone their visit was purposefully private to avoid trouble. But their travel companions keep referring to the visit as being work-related, or an unofficial delegation. Exhibit A, this article on the website of Vocal Europe, an organization chaired by Henri Malas, former president of the European Economic and Social Council, EESC, and one of those who traveled to the Maldives. The ESC, meanwhile, declares there's no such thing as an unofficial delegation. Diliana Slavova, who chairs the ESC's External Relations section, said in a statement that those ESC members were acting in their private capacity, and not on behalf of the ESC. The ESC never sends unofficial delegations to third countries, and its members are not authorized to speak on behalf of the European Union, but only on behalf of the ESC. Who paid for it? The ESC didn't pay a cent, said Daniela Vincent, the spokeswoman of Luca Jaye, Malas's successor as ESC president. This morning, join us at 11 a.m. on Facebook Live for Politico's Coffee Break. Our reporters Kate and Jacob will be following up on the crunchy bits of Juncker's last State of the Union speech, and your direct input is more than welcome. Other happenings. Slovenia's parliament confirms minority government. Salvini vs. Moscovici, European Commissioner Pier Moscovici should wash his mouth out before insulting Italy, the Italians and their legitimate government, Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini said in a statement Thursday. Salvini was responding to comments made by Moscovici earlier that day that he feared little Mussolini's, whom he did not name, might be emerging in Europe. More from Reuters. Big Brother in Berlin, with its wide-open modern spaces and light flooding through a glass ceiling. Berlin's Adkreuz station, located just a few kilometers south of Angela Merkel's chancellery, looks like an architectural metaphor for transparency. But it's also the place where the German government is trialing its own miniature version of a Chinese-style surveillance state. And critics say that authorities have been anything but transparent about what's taking place inside the station. Read Jan Ostielker's feature about it here. far-right finishing school in France, this month, the doors will open at the Institute of Social, Economic and Political Sciences in Lyon, which its high-profile backers hope will become a breeding ground for France's next generation of conservative thinkers and leaders. It also marks the return to public life of Marion Maréchal, who is the college's director. Maya de la Baume interviews the one-time great hope of the French far-right. How to get around sanctions? Spiegel reports that Germany, France and Britain will create a special-purpose entity that will allow EU oil importers and other companies to finance their business with Iran, circumventing banks and other traditional channels, and ergo U.S. sanctions. H.T. Jacob Hank. 100 Days of Pedro, Spain's socialist Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez is under fire over allegations that he plagiarized his PhD thesis, the resignations of cabinet ministers and a number of embarrassing U-turns. Diego Torres writes about his 100 days of commotion. Kozlowska latest, Polish authorities reacted angrily to the Bundestag's invitation to Ukrainian human rights activist Lyudmila Kozlowska to speak at a conference on the rule of law in Poland and Hungary. President Andrzej Duda called his German counterpart, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, to complain, Michał Broniachowski writes and to report. And Poland's foreign ministry summoned the German ambassador. Belgian porkies, Belgium has confirmed that African swine fever has spread to the country. Podcast du jour, our own Ryan Heath speaks with music mogul Lior Cohen, now YouTube's global head of music, about this week's big vote on copyright in the European Parliament, and how the music business has changed, in our latest EU Confidential podcast. Le Personnel. New job, today is Eric Maurice's last day as the EU Observer's editor, he told Playbook. He will be joining the Robert Schuman Foundation think tank. Nominated, the EPP nominated Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov for Parliament's Sakharov Prize for Freedom of Thought. Sentsov is currently in a Russian prison, dying in order to make the world hear about the values of honor, freedom, truth and to make Mr. Putin release other, almost 70, Ukrainian political prisoners, writes the EPP. We can't remain deaf to this call. The left group's nominee is Nasser Zefzafi, who is currently serving a 20-year sentence in Morocco for taking part in protests against the government. Here's the full list of nominees. Birthdays, Arjan Nurlander, EU correspondent for Dutch broadcaster Knows, and his twin brother Leon, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev is 53, MEPs Elisavet Vozemberg-Vranity, Monica Vanna and Morten Helveg-Petersen, Arno van Praye, Paul McCarthy, Deputy Director for Europe at International Republican Institute, Agence Europe's Lucas Tripito, Georg Raab from the European Commission, former Greek Prime Minister Kostas Karamanlis, Rachel Ryan Mikkel of Corvus Communications, H.T. Daniel Lippmann. A message from the EPP Group, for the upcoming years, 3 points are crucial, security, democracy, and fairness. We welcome the proposal on the strengthening of Frontex, which was initiated by the EPP Group. Strict border controls are the precondition for everything. We can only ask people in Europe to be ready to help real refugees if we make it clear that illegal migration will be stopped. A Europe of the people is a democratic Europe. We should ensure that the European elections are safe. Russia, China, trolls, fake news, or Cambridge Analytica will not decide Europe's future. Only the people of Europe will do this. A Europe of the people is a fairer Europe. With digitalization, a revolution is ahead of us. We want a new fair deal for Europe, starting with fair taxation. Digital businesses should contribute to social justice in our societies, and ensuring the same level of living conditions and income for all in Europe. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, EU Confidential, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico Pro Policy morning newsletters.